This is Reverend Joseph Caesar, and welcome to the Good News Program. I am truly blessed and honored to be called by God to be His servant to spread the good news of salvation to you all. You have done the right thing. Don't change the channel. You are not here by chance, but by divine guidance. And hello again, this is Reverend Caesar coming to you on BBS Radio one more time to spread the good news of salvation. It is always a pleasure to come into your home. And I thank Almighty God for choosing me as a special vessel to convey His word. I pray that you'll have a blessing this evening. Don't change the channel, as I said. Don't leave. You're going to miss out on the best part of this program. Today, I want to talk to you from the book of James, chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. And my topic is about compassion. It says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? What does it profit? I also want to talk to you about the Good Samaritan. There is a story that a priest was passing and he saw someone on the ground has been robbed and beaten up, and he went his way straight. A Levite came and did likewise. You see, one would think, coming from a priest, that the priest would have compassion on the victim and the Levite also. He's the head of all the priests. No, but they go straight. They went their way and ignored the man. Then here comes the Samaritan. He saw the man. He lifted him up. He attended to him. He poured the wine and the oil in his wound, clean him up, put him on his donkey, and took him to an inn, and let the innkeeper take care of him until he returned to pay the innkeeper. Now that is compassion. That is compassion. The Bible says what you meted out would be to one, it would be meted out back to you. The Bible talks about in John 1 John 3:17,
He says, but whoever has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowel, that means his heart, of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? How the love of God dwells in him? So here is the condescension, the miracle, the mystery of divine love, that God would redeem the church with his own blood. Surely we should love those whom God has loved and so loved. The Holy Spirit grieved at selfishness. Will leave the selfish heart without comfort and full of darkness and terror. By what can it be known that a man has a true sense of the love of Christ for perishing sinners, or that the love of God has been planted in his heart by the Holy Spirit? If, my friend, if the love of the world and its good overcomes the feelings of compassion to be a perishing brother, every instance of this selfishness must weaken the evidences of a man's conversion when habitual and allowed. It must decide against him. If consciousness condemns us in known sin or the neglect of known duty, God does so too. Let your conscience therefore be well informed. Be heard and diligently attended to. The Bible says, whoso had this world's good has property, which is called this world's good, or a good pertaining to this world, because it is of value to us only as it meets our wants this side of the grave. And perhaps, also because it is sought supremely by the people of the world. The general meaning of this verse, in connection with the previous verse, is that if we ought to be willing to lay down our lives for others, we ought to be willing to make those comparatively smaller sacrifices which are necessary, very necessary, to relieve them in their distresses. And that if we are unwilling to do this, we can have no evidence that the love of God dwells in us. If we cannot show compassion and say that we are children of God, and if we cannot show compassion to anyone in distress, then we can see the love of God is in us, because Jesus has compassion. He gives compassion. The Bible said, and seeth his brother have need of food or raiment or shelter, or sick and poor and unable to provide for his own wants and those of his family. And you tell me now, and he shut up his bowels of compassion from that man? The bowels or upper viscers, which embraces the heart and region of the chest, generally are in the scriptures represented as the seat of mercy, piety, and compassion. Because when the mind feels compassion, it is that part which is affected, the visceral part, the upper part of the chest. How dwelleth the love of God in him? How can a man love God who does not love those who bear his image? How can? On the general sentiment, the meaning of this is plain, that we cannot have evidence of piety unless we are ready to do good to others, especially to our Christian brethren. This word good, which literally good livelihood or substance, if we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, how much more ought we not to withhold our substance? You know, the Bible says, see it. When the Bible said, see it, see, not merely casually, but deliberately contemplates as a spectator. It beholds. And then they walk the different way. They ignore the suffering man. The Bible talks about shutting up his bowels of compassion, which had been momentarily opened by the spectacle of his brother's need. And as I said a while ago, the bowels mean the heart, the seat of compassion. And so how is it possible that the love of God dwelleth in him? Our superfluities should yield to the necessities, our comforts, and even our necessaries, in some measure, should yield to the extreme wants of our brethren. Faith gives Christ to me or to us. Love flowing from faith gives me or us to our neighbors. And if the love of God is in us, should make us lay down our lives for the brethren, and we be not willing in their necessity and our own ability to relieve them, how plain is this case that it is not in us. The love of God is not in us. If we can meet our brethren and have compassion and mercy upon them. There is an old saying, must look for a need and fill it. But those who had this world's good, which is a possession of the world, worldly substances, the temporal good things of it. For there are some things in it which are honestly pleasantly and profitably good when used lawfully and not abused. Otherwise, they are to the owner's hurt or the living of this world, that which the men of the world give up themselves to and bent upon and pursue after, on which men live and by which life is maintained and preserved and made comfortable in the present state of things, such as meat, drink, clothes, money, houses, land, etc. The Ethiopic version renders it that way. He that hath the government of this world, as if it pointed at the person that is in some high office of worldly honor and profit, and is both great and rich, but the words are not to be restrained to such a one only, but refer to any man that has any share of the outward enjoyments of life, that has not only a competency for himself and family, but something to spare, and especially that has an affluence of worldly substance, but of him that has not. Share with your brothers, give to your brothers and sisters. Would you send them back when they come to you to ask you for a handout? No. If you have it, give it, so that God can have mercy upon you in time of need. For what a man distributes ought to be his own and not another's, and in proportion to what he has, or according to his ability. And when the Bible says, and seeth his brother have need, it means not merely a brother in that strict and natural relation, a bond of continuity. Though such a one in distress ought to be in the first place regarded, for no man should hide himself from overlooking and neglect his own flesh and blood. How can you do that? Where is your compassion? We are talking about compassion this evening. By any and every man, his neighbor, give that you can have in the time of need. The Bible said the Lord would always look to you, would protect you when you look after the poor. We are supposed to take care of the poor. Jesus said that. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always, but me you don't have always. So we are the ones who are supposed to take care of the poor. The Bible said the man shut it up his bowels of compassion from him, hardens his heart, turns away his eyes, and shuts his hand, has no tenderness in him for, nor sympathy with distressed brother, nor gives him any succor. And this shows that when relief is given, it should be not in a morose and churlish manner, with reflection and reproach, but with affection and pity. And where there is neither one nor the other, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Neither the love with which God loves men. For if this was shed abroad in him, and had a place and dwelt in him, and he was properly affected with it, it would harm his heart and loosen his affection and cause his bowels to move to his poor brother. The Bible talks about how the food is sufficient for the day, or to support nature. How could you have compassion, not have compassion? Compassion is being sympathetic and pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others, victims of circumstances, which should be treated with compassion regardless of his estate, creed, color, age, religion, or sex. Blessed is the one who reaches out with their hearts before extending their hands. No one knows. Most people don't know what are the causes and why some people are in such situation. No one. They became victims of circumstances. Therefore, look beyond their physical structure and haggard frames, for it could have been you. It could have been you or me. Don't quick to ridicule. Have mercy and compassion. God is love. For if we does not love our brother, whom we sees in distress, how should he love the visible God? How? Now, God love requires strong, compassionate feeling. That's what God love does. And we should have that if we say we are in Christ. As the apostle wants to bring to our that love must show itself by action. He turns his attention to the most direct evidence of it. Compassion towards the needy, brother, by the adversative, you know, connection. John marks the progress from the greater, which is justly demanded, to the less, the non-performance of which seems, therefore, a grosser transgression of the rule just stated. If we say that we are the children of God, then we are brothers and sisters, and we have to look out for our brothers and sisters. We must always show compassion. Love can only show itself in great actions and sacrifices, but there is no suggestion in the context of anything like this. No. No, not at all. We are to look out for our brothers and sisters. Love must be practical. It is easy to lay down one's life. Martyrdom is heroic and exhilarating. The difficulty lies in doing the little things, facing the day by day, the petty sacrifices and self-denials which no one notices and no one applauds. The livelihood of the world, my brothers and sisters, of a moving and which really moves the heart instead of flinging it wide open and lavishing its treasures. The seat of the affections, the inward parts, the love of God, inspired by God. and answering to the love which God feels for us. Compassion we must always have. We must not live in a world of greed and supposition. We must always reach out. If there is anyone in need, we must always, no matter how small we have, reach out to our brothers and sisters, and no matter how small, we can give. The Bible talks about the world's life. It means that which supports the life of mankind, or life in this world, is marked contrast to eternal life. And seeth his brother have need, better to say, and behold it, his brother have a need. And you know, also the verb implies that he not only sees him, but looks at him and considers him. It is a word of which the contemplative apostle is very fond. And outside the synoptic gospel and the Acts, it occurs nowhere but is. The one has as his possession the world's wealth. The other has as his possession need. One have wealth and the other has need. The one who has the wealth shutted up his bowels of compassion from him. There is no compassion in the Greek, and we truly or hardly been both substantiated. The ancient believed the bowels to be the seat of the affections as well as the heart, whereas we take the latter only. How dwelleth the love of God in him? How can the love of God be dwell in a man when he has no compassion for his brother? How doth the love of God abide in him? This preserves the other of the Greek better than any marks the recurrence of John. The love of God, as usual, in this epistle means man love to God. The question here is equivalent to the statement. The God's love cannot dwell in you without you have some form of compassion. Where is your compassion for your fellow men, my brothers and sisters? I pray this evening that if you pass in anywhere in the street and someone puts out their hand to you, don't turn away. Don't chase them. Don't run them away. Don't scorn them. Have mercy. Have compassion. And reach out to them and help them. I pray today that you will pick up and you will pray about the spirit of compassion. You can speak to God about endowing you with the spirit of compassion. As I say, you never knew what happened to those people in their coming up. No one knows. But don't be a judge. Be compassionate. And may God richly bless you. As I run out of time, may Almighty God watch over you now and always. May he protect you. May he open doors for you so that you will be able to have enough to give to those in compassion. And Father and God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your divine word, and you use me as a conduit to bring send forth your word. Bless the radio station, BBS Radio, the staff, and those who are listening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.